Call this meeting to order. Today is April 19th. It's 4:35 p.m. or so, or 3:35 p.m. We'll go ahead and have Senator President. We have here is Senator Kukish, Senator Stevens, Senator Thomas, Senator Wagner, and myself, Senator Olson. We're here to go ahead and hear Senate Bill 122, which is the municipal property tax exemption by Senator Thomas. With that, we'll have Grier Hopkins come on up to present the bill for us. Mr. Hopkins, if you would please. We have several people to testify online, and we'll get to those as soon as the presenter is finished presenting the bill.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. My name is Grier Hopkins. I'm staff for Senator Joe Thomas, Fairbanks, and I'm here to present Senate Bill 122. Senator, did you want to read the sponsor statement?
No, you go right ahead.
Senate Bill 122 would allow a municipality to offer a residential property tax exemption up to $100,000. This bill does not mandate any action by municipalities. Indeed, current law does not allow for state-mandated local method of taxation or tax rate. This bill only allows local governments the option of increasing their residential property tax exemption. The intent behind this legislation is twofold. First, SB 122 allows municipalities another tool when and if they consider diversifying their revenue stream. Second, in recent years, many of Alaska's local governments have dramatically increased property assessments, resulting in repeatedly increasing costs for homeowners. SB 122 would give homeowners some much-deserved tax relief. Currently, there are 12 boroughs and 13 cities with a combined population of over 590,000, which levies property taxes. If municipalities were to fully implement this proposed exemption, the tax relief for homeowners would be profound. Senate Bill 122 would not affect a smaller, revenue-strapped community's sources of tax income. Instead, it would give these municipalities with a large enough population the ability to relieve the tax burden largely borne by homeowners. Senate Bill 122 would allow these local governments the ability to choose and set the exemption at any amount up to $100,000. This local ordinance would then require a ratification at the polls by the citizens of that municipality. Senate Bill 122 is a tool for municipalities to utilize at their own discretion, having the potential to aid both our local governments and our citizen homeowners. I urge you to support Senate Bill 122.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hopkins. Any questions of the sponsors by any members of the committee? Senator Kukish.
I was wondering how you got to $100,000 from the $20,000. It's a five times.
The chair, Senator Kukesh,
or did you have a study done? Or
no, that was the request put forward by the city of Fairbanks, and the borough of Fairbanks, or the Fairbanks North Star Borough, had put forward a resolution similar, but asking for a $50,000 increase, and we decided to shoot for the top and see what we could get.
Actually, Senator Stevens was. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm done. Thank you.
Senator Stevens was next.
I must be a little confused here, but so we offer the state had a $250,000 exemption, right? That exists now.
No, sir. To the chair, Senator Stevens. Currently, the state has this $20,000 exemption for residential homeowners only. There's a $150,000 mandated exemption for senior homes, veterans and senior widows. There's a bill currently moving through the legislature now that proposes to raise that to 250, but this is separate from that $150,000 exemption.
Well, I'm just trying to think. I mean, as borough mayor for a couple of years, it was difficult enough to pay our bills and. So, well, what you're doing is saying that this is an option.
Mm-hmm.
It's not required. Communities can choose to exempt property tax. Well, why do you want to do this?
It gives municipalities. I'm
sorry. Go ahead.
It gives municipalities another tool when looking at diversifying their tax base.
How do you diversify your tax base by allowing people not to pay taxes?
By lowering, Senator Stevens, by lowering the residential property tax, take the burden off of the homeowners And you can pass it on to a sales tax, you could institute a sales tax, you could introduce a gross receipts tax, an employment tax, any list of options that could...
He's good.
any number of options that they could decide to have instead of...
Certainly sound like a good bit of questioning there, Senator Wagner. Well, a
couple of problems with that. Number one, there's the two biggest communities in this state have refused continuously to do anything with the sales tax. They both have already restricted themselves to a cap on their property tax. And this bill was before us 2 years ago, if you remember, in finance, and we barely passed it from and increased it from 10,000 to 20,000 at the bequest of the Kenai Peninsula Borough. And as a matter of fact, I was a little upset because they have never implemented it there. They've stayed at the 10,000. So I think sometimes we get in a situation where we're giving things without giving any money with it, and all of a sudden we're creating an entitlement that's hanging out there, and it may work in reverse to what they're thinking about, because it may become an entitlement demanded by property tax. And when you say sales tax, that takes a vote in your community. And the problem, the worry I have here is the residents will want this and will force it, and the burden of taxation then will be placed, I think, on small businesses. And that's kind of troubling to me.
It would be passed on to large businesses too, I would imagine.
Well, all businesses, but in Fairbanks, you have a preponderance of small businesses, just like we do on the Kenai Peninsula Borough. We got some larger businesses than you've got. We've got three plants there, but other than that, we're all small business oriented. And when you have so much revenue that you need to run your government, you're taxed to that level of revenue, and is all I'm saying is if in Fairbanks, for instance, they implemented $100,000 forgiveness to each piece of personal property, the difference between the $10,000 they can now issue and the $100,000, that's $90,000 per residence. The equivalent burden of that $90,000 per residence would have to be made up either with a sales tax or by taxing small business. And they're having enough problems up there now.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I've given up trying to understand what's going on in Fairbanks and trying to understand how you pay your taxes and how you pay your bills. And so maybe it's beyond me to understand that. But are you bringing us into the argument of installing a sales tax? Is that what this is really all about?
If I
Mr. Greif, just hold on. We'll have Senator Thomas go ahead and answer some of the questions, or ask questions of himself.
Yeah.
Clarify.
No, this the city of Fairbanks is, they've had a confused situation, but they did vote just recently here, and they put back in place, thank you, Mr. Chairman, they did put back in place their existing tax structure as it was prior to the vote that was done in October. thank goodness. Gave them, with a two-year reprieve is what it amounts to come to some resolution. This was not as a result of that, actually, because the borough and the city both support this. So this is a different thing. This is more of an issue regarding the assessed values of property, which continue to rise. Property does what it does. You know, they're knocking down old houses, building new ones, so the property values are increasing in subdivisions, particularly that have sewer and water in the city and things like that. And it's created quite a burden on some of the older people, not necessarily the ones that already have an exemption. So this is an attempt to give them an opportunity to make that change and give some relief there and potentially put in place. I'm sure sales tax is obviously going to be one of the things that the city of Fairbanks does. I don't know that the borough will do that, but there's no doubt in my mind that before long we're all going to be faced with some other options for taxing rather than just property tax in our, well, I shouldn't speak for any place else. I just know that is going to be a press because of the uses of the tax money that comes from Fairbanks. So many believe that it is not a fair collection on the many visitors and the tourism folks that come to and make use of the roads and the facilities in the Fairbanks area and contribute nothing because we don't have a sales tax. And I realize that's not everybody else's problem and other communities' problem, but it is one. And the only way to address it, obviously, is you need to have the exemption is a state statute, so that's the only way you can approach it. Yeah.
So, Senator Thomas, are you in agreement that this is one of the moves that will get us closer to having a sales tax?
I believe that it is obviously, as others have commented, you know, if you take from one pocket, you're going to have to put something back in that pocket from the other pocket somewhere. So you have to have a source of revenue. So they will have to supplement it in some fashion,
mm-hmm.
no doubt in my mind, whatever type of tax that might be. And I'm assuming that a sales tax, and that's been the argument quite a bit in the Fairbanks area, has been a sales tax mostly because, and even a seasonal sales tax, as they talked about. I don't know if you guys have had that in your communities where people talked about a seasonal sales tax that would only be in place a portion of the year, particularly when you get the visitors. So that's something that's been talked about. So,
okay.
I can say something. We looked at
Senator Wagner, go ahead.
We looked at seasonal sales tax. If you look at your sales tax records in most places in Alaska, the largest collection of sales taxes is basically between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So sometimes you kind of fool yourself into thinking the seasonal sales tax would be the greatest thing around. I'm not sure it collects that much more for you.
Okay.
But that's each individual municipality and borough's decision to make. But I don't know who's going to be speaking today, but I'd really love to hear from the Chamber of Commerce, who represents those people. I would be fearful of this tax burden falling back on because they don't get an exemption. And I know in my area, if we exempt everybody to $100,000 level, luckily I sold my building last January, but I wouldn't be wanting to face the increase in my property taxes if that happened.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stevens, go ahead.
You can probably figure yours
out. So if I understand this, this is a $20,000 exemption that could be chosen. The city or the borough could use that. And an exemption for everyone. We're not saying only seniors, we're not saying only widows, we're saying everyone. But aren't there other options that the city and borough have to look at reducing property tax? Can't they change the rates? Can't they reduce it themselves if they choose to?
Yes, sir, they can. One option that a lot of municipalities have looked at is lowering the mill rate, which would affect everybody across the board. This specifically targets residential homeowners, allowing you to target your taxes where you hit them, more specifically to who uses what services and what amount, and so your homeowners would be paying less than they are currently and allow others to fill the hole.
And the others are the businesses that was talked about by Senator Wagner?
Businesses, people with property outside of their prime residences. This only affects the prime residence of the home where you live in. Most of the time, if you have a cabin out in the woods, that's not exempted. Yes, sir.
Senator Stevens, go ahead.
No, I'm just trying to think this through. So they could lower their mill rate, but you're saying that would be something you may not want to do, which would lower the mill rate not only to homeowners, but to businesses and people who have the property that is not their residence.
Senator
Hopkins, go ahead.
Also, it would reduce the amount that municipalities, such as the Kenai Borough and the Fairbanks North Star Borough, have that mineral and oil and gas property goes through. The state charges a 20 mil limit on that, or 20 mil rate on that property that travels through the state. And when that property goes through a municipality that issues a property tax, they take their mill level. So say Fairbanks has 14 mills and they're charging that 14 mills onto the oil and gas property that's going through their borough. They take that 14 mills and the last six of it goes through the state. If they lowered that, if they lowered their original mill rate, they would receive less money from that oil and gas property also. And that's somewhat explained on table 3A, I believe.
And Mr. Chairman.
Actually, Senator Kukish had a question first, unless it was on point, Senator Wagner.
No.
Senator, did you want to look at 3A, Senator Stevens?
No.
Okay, Senator Kukish.
Could you explain the ratification process?
Yes, sir. A borough assembly would decide to institute, say, $50,000 of this $100,000 exemption. They would then vote for that and send it. They would have to again go to a vote of all the citizens in the borough, and they would have to ratify that.
Even if they put it into place and they want to do this as a government, but if the citizens as a whole say no, it just disappears, goes away again until you do it again?
Yes, sir.
Any further questions, Senator Kukish? Senator Wagner.
Well, I was just going to say that's another interesting thing that we need to keep in mind, though, because the way the state does on the property tax at the 20 mil level, there are some communities in this state who tax up to the 20 mil level to get the maximum benefit of retaining and not giving back to the state. Some of the others don't tax to that level. So that kind of should figure into our calculations when we start looking at municipal assistance revenue sharing, because basically that's what that is, by allowing them to keep that taxable value. So in the future discussions, I just brought that up.
Well,
so
it's like a formula starting to do its mental gymnastics.
Yes, it is. But that's going to be a hard one to figure. I don't quite know how to calculate it yet.
Senator Wagner, or Senator Thomas.
And that table is in, or that those mill rates are in your packet as well. It's probably halfway through behind the tables. I think it's just after the last table 3. The next page has at least those numbers for. And of course, there's some inequities there too, because some have no oil and gas properties within within their areas too. So everything gets more complex. This looked like a very simple bill, right? We tried to keep it simple. We changed one thing, but anyhow, nothing is always as simple as it might seem. But anyhow, just for your information, we included that in there too, so you know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any further questions of the bill sponsor? If not, we have a number of people that are off net. First, we have Steve Van Zandt. Mr. Van Zandt, are you willing to go in and comment on this bill?
Mr. Chairman, I'm here to answer any questions, that's all, sir.
I guess one of the questions, Mr. Van Zandt, that's come forth is there seems to be a fair amount of concern that we're shifting the tax burden from one portion of the property owners to another portion. Is that a correct characterization?
Anytime you take something like this and exempt a portion of the tax base.
Mr. Van Zandt, if you would, please.
Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah, we can hear you, okay. Just identify yourself for the record and tell us your position.
For the record, my name is Steve Van Zandt. I'm the state assessor with the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. Mr. Chairman, the issue is with this type of exemption, without another source of revenue, if you don't supplement that with, say, a sales tax, as Senator Thomas said, exactly what you're doing is shifting the burden, portion of the burden from residential property to commercial property to vacant property, and in the cases of three or four municipalities, North Slope, Fairbanks, City of Valdez, Kenai, it'll also take some revenues away from the state because they'll end up having to increase their mill rates to make up for that loss. So I haven't done any studies on that. I assume the Department of Revenue would be there, but a few years ago, we had the $50,000 exemption, and I think our analysis at that time, if every municipality went to the $50,000, would be about $2 million that would take from the state. So, you know, by that way of thinking, possibly $4 million if everybody went to the top of it. And the only problem with calculating that is you have Anchorage and the Fairbanks that have a percentage up to the maximum, so not everybody would receive the maximum exemption. So the bottom line to your question is, yes, sir, without another source of revenue, what it does is it does shift the tax burden.
Any other questions of Mr. Van Zandt by any members of the community or committee? Senator Kukish.
I was wondering, I know you're probably not here representing the administration, but could you tell us what your position would be on the bill itself? What your opinion as a state assessor is on this particular piece of legislation?
Can you hear the question, Mr. Van Zandt?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair, Senator Kukish, we have made presentations to AML and to other municipalities, and this is certainly a tool that municipalities can use. And while I can't speak for the administration, but it's a tool that would be important to municipalities. Used by itself, what it does is shift the burden. But if it's used with other revenues coming in, I think as Senator Thomas alluded to, you know, if a sales tax were to come in, well, that would certainly help. Because in Fairbanks, they do have a revenue cap, so any other revenue stream they have come in would certainly lower their property taxes. So I guess the bottom line is we support any tools that help municipalities with their revenue streams.
Any further questions, Senator Kukish?
No.
Senator Wagner.
I don't quite understand that last statement. Could you go into a little more depth? We support the. Would you restate your last statement, please?
Through the chair, Senator Weirich, the statement I'm making is that there are a bunch of different tools that municipalities can use to help enhance their revenue stream. One is diversification of the tax revenues, you know, whether that be a sales tax or a gross income tax, gross receipts tax. In this case, what this does is allow municipalities to shift burdens in an area where they think the values are increasing more than in other areas. In this case, residential values certainly are increasing across the state. Probably in most municipalities I've seen at a bigger, more rapid rate than commercial property. So what it does is tend to pull that back. So this is a tool that, out of all the ones that we've made presentations to at AML and other functions, that we see as supporting to help municipalities. Now, we have never come out in support of any number. I mean, that was obviously not our call. But by increasing the residential exemption, certainly would help give some tax relief to residential property owners. I hope that clarifies that a little bit.
Yeah, it's a little better. Thank you.
Any further questions of Mr. Van Zandt by members of the committee?
No.
Okay, next we have online is Charlie Rex from the Fairbanks Borough. Mr. Rex, if you would, please.
Well, this is Charlie Rex from the Fairbanks North Star Borough. I'm on the Borough Assembly. And just a few points, you know, just some comments. My understanding is that we're not getting a lot of support from Anchorage and Kenai on this bill. Both of those markets are served by natural gas. We have to depend on fuel oil in this community almost 100%. And the battle we're fighting right now is that our fuel costs are going up exponentially, and it's really putting a crunch on homeowners in this community. We're going to put people in a position fairly quickly that they're either going to have to choose between paying fuel, their fuel bill, or their property taxes. If we implement, and quite honestly, this administration has said already that they're going to support putting a sales tax on the ballot. My thought process, and I brought a resolution forward at the Borough Assembly that passed this assembly at $50,000 to raise it to $50,000. And my idea was that when we go to the ballot, if we could pass this in the state this year, if we go to the ballot, we could say to everyone that you're going to see a substantial decrease in your property taxes. If we implemented this at the same time that we created a sales tax, what we would end up with is we would end up with a substantial decrease for those folks that own commercial properties, and at the same time a substantial decrease for those properties, residential properties. The sales tax issue is one that I feel will get put on the ballot in Fairbanks. to me, this is absolutely a tool in the toolbox that at least I know this assembly or this community needs to have in their toolbox. This takes a vote by the people as well. And if it were put in at $100,000, that doesn't mean it wouldn't need to be implemented at that level. Oddly enough, when we went from a $10,000 exemption to a $20,000 exemption, our mill levy decreased. And so from the state revenue standpoint on Alyeska, on the pipeline, we've had a positive increase to the state, even with an increase in that exemption. And since I've been on the assembly, we've lowered the mill rate from approximately 14 mills to 12 mills. And still, with the increased valuations that we're seeing, the homeowners in this community, as noted by the vote that they just took in the city of Fairbanks, they've had enough. And so I sort of feel like there's an opportunity here to go to the ballot with a sales tax to diversify our tax base. But having this tool in the toolbox would certainly, I think, give us a better chance to diversify our tax base with a sales tax in this community. One last point, the cost of collection, if we talk about just any alternative tax that we could put in other than raising this exemption, there's a cost to collect that tax. And if in fact we go to the ballot, if we can pass a sales tax, implementing this to offset some of the, I guess leave a little residual on the commercial properties and extend a greater portion of that to the property owners, there's really no cost. It's just you push a different button on the computer, and there doesn't take any more FTEs in our borough, and it's probably, and I've told business owners that in this community, and I think that if we attack this from both sides of that issue, there's a substantial chance that we can finally get some diversification in our tax base in Fairbanks. And thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Mr. Rex, we have a question by Senator Wagner.
Sure.
First, let me correct something, Mr. Rex. We sell hundreds of thousands of gallons a year of home heating oil on the peninsula, too. Not everybody in Kenai, Soldaten, and the surrounding area has natural gas by far. And we do, and I do empathize with you because I know the what the difference between gas and oil is. But the question I want to ask is, has the either municipality or the Fairbanks North Star Borough in the past had votes on a sales tax, trying to implement a sales tax? And if so, how many times has it failed?
The municipality in Fairbanks, the city of Fairbanks, has had votes. I believe they've had it voted down five or six times. The borough has never had a vote on sales tax since it was incorporated. So this will be the first time that this has gone to the ballot in borough-wide.
Senator Wagner, any further questions?
No.
Can I ask a question?
Senator Stevens has a question for you, Mr. Rex.
It's for Mr. Van Zandt. Still on. Steve, are you still on? Steve Van Zandt.
It existed.
I'm sorry. Yeah, through the chair, yes, sir, Senator, I am.
Well, thank you, Steve. This is maybe very simplistic. I may misunderstand this, but is it not possible for a borough to charge a differential rate of tax on commercial property as compared to home properties, or do they have to be the same?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, under current statutes, all the mill rates have to be the same except for different levels of service, so service areas can change, but the basic mill rates have to be the same for both residential and commercial.
Okay, thank you, Steve.
Any further questions, Mr. Van Zandt, while we have him on? Okay. Mr. Rex, one of the questions that I had for you, if you're still on, when you talked about the administration, you're talking about the borough administration?
Yes, I am.
And I didn't get a clear indication, are you for the bill or against the bill?
I'm for the bill, absolutely for the bill. It gives us a tool that we could use, I believe, to enhance our chances to pass a sales tax in this community.
Mr. Rex, thank you very much. Senator Kukesh has a question for you.
Could you comment on the raising of the exemption from $20,000 to $100,000 and how you feel about that particular number?
The city of Fairbanks passed a resolution to raise it to $100,000. I brought the resolution forward at the borough level at 50 because I thought that it was had a better chance at that level to get this thing passed through. That doesn't mean it could go through at $100,000. That does not mean that the municipality would have to put on the ballot that we would pass that all along. We could put it on the ballot at 50 at our choice. I think that $100,000 exemption would be more of a bitter pill to swallow for the chambers and some of the local small businesses that I believe Senator Wagner alluded to early on in his testimony. Or his question, but I felt that $50,000 was a very realistic number, and that it would still give us enough of a tool, if you will, to use when and if we get this on the ballot to get a sales tax passed in this community.
Okay, Mr. Rex, thank you. We have one further question from Senator Wagner.
Well, part of it's a statement. You know, I was the guy that tried for $50,000 before and got whittled down to $20,000. So I understand the process this has got to go through. What is the population outside the city of Fairbanks? And now North Pole, do they have a sales tax?
They do.
What's the population outside North Pole and Fairbanks versus the population in Fairbanks?
The Fairbanks city proper is approximately 32,000. I'm not sure about North Pole. I believe that the population that you're talking about is approximately 55,000. It would be approximately 55,000 residents.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, Fairbanks is a smaller community than North Pole?
No. Fairbanks community is approximately 32,000. North Pole is approximately 1,500.
Oh, 1,500. I thought you said 50.
Right. So what you'd end up with is approximately 55,000 residents that reside in neither city.
No.
Well, you better give us those numbers again. We're getting confused here.
He's got it there.
32,000 in Fairbanks.
Okay.
15,000 in North Pole, or 1,500, excuse me, in North Pole, and 55,000 residents that reside neither in North Pole or the city of Fairbanks.
Okay.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right.
Outside the city limits.
Yes, sir.
There we go. Thank you.
For a total of just 85,000.
Approximate, yep.
Okay.
88, 87, 85.
Any further questions, Senator Wagner?
No.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Rex.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Testifying this afternoon. Next person we have up in Fairbanks is Jerry Cleworth. Mr. Cleworth, please.
Hello, can you hear me?
You're coming in loud and clear. Identify yourself for the record and we'll go on with your testimony.
My name is Jerry Cleworth. I'm with the Fairbanks City Council.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity. I didn't think that this would turn into a discussion on sales tax, and that's discouraging to me. I don't agree with Mr. Rex on that, but be that as it may, we both agree on this bill that's in front of you here. We, at the city of Fairbanks, do collect sales taxes. We have three separate sales taxes for a total of approximately $4 million out of a $29 million budget. Our property tax raises about $12 million. The balance, we have other revenue sources. We're very diversified in the city. The borough's a little different entity out there. And yes, we have voted on it at the borough level. Mr. Rex is incorrect. In the late 80s, we voted it down. Having said that, we have always felt frustrated at the city council that we do not have all the tools when we are setting a mill rate. Since we have to set one mill rate for commercial and residential, as was just discussed, we're looking for a way to try and relieve the residential owner because of the increasing assessments by the borough, and yes, fuel costs and other costs. It's just been a double hammer here that people have been experiencing. And we've always we're privately wishing for the opportunity to be able to juggle the residential exemption more than what it is right now. The $20,000 was great, and we voted on that, and it overwhelmingly passed. But we were hoping to have a tool to be, you know, go up higher. Whether it's the 100 or the 50, anything's an improvement over what we have here. So I just wanted to say, I want to speak directly to the bill and not on, on strategies to try and get other taxes or things, because that's beside the point.
Are you finished, Mr. Cleaver?
I am done.
Yep. We have a question from Senator Wagner.
Yeah, are you aware that there's a, and I meant to say this before, there's a bill going through the process down here right now, and of course we don't know whether it's going to pass or not either, but I believe it restricts the borough to an increase of 2% a year in assessed valuation. Now, I know that's just something that's a maybe, but I think from what I hear, from what Senator Thomas says, and what you're saying, it seems like the rate of appreciation and the values is much higher than that up in Fairbanks area anyway.
Yeah, recently some homeowners have been hit with assessments as high as 30% that I have heard. Mine have fluctuated around the 10 to 13% rate each year. And, you know, in all honesty, if I were to sell the house, it would probably sell for roughly what that assessment would be. It would be nice to limit the assessments, but I know under state law that the borough is their hands are tied, and they're supposed to, by law, assess at the market value of a home. It's just too fast and too sudden for most people, and that's why this argument has come up. It would be nice to be able to go, you know, We can only limit it to X amount of dollars or assessed value or percentage a year. I would actually support that bill. I was not aware of that bill. I was aware of the other one as far as senior citizens went, but not of the one you referred to.
Yeah, well, you know, you're talking to a guy that's 64 and a half, so you know what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair bill. We've never had a problem with that.
Any other questions for Mr. Cleaworth? Thank you very much, Mr. Cleaworth, for coming out this afternoon.
Thank you.
Appreciate your input. The next person that we have online is from the municipality of Anchorage, Marty McGee. Ms. McGee, if you would, please.
Yeah, my name is Marty McGee. I'm the assessor for the municipality of Anchorage. I made myself available primarily to answer questions. The municipality does not oppose this bill. Several things have been raised in the discussion, a couple that I'd like to comment on. It's certainly true that residential property is increasing at a much more rapid rate than other forms of property. And that results in a redistribution of the tax as well. And we're operating within the bounds of the existing law. This bill would give us another tool in each municipality to consider. Residential property in general is increasing at about twice the rate as commercial property in Anchorage. The bill sets another fixed amount in terms of the total amount of exemption allowed, and every time we've done this, that creates a little bit of a problem over time because property values increase not only with the market but with inflation, and these historical fixed amounts, you know, sometimes depart from what the reality is of the day. In Anchorage now, the average home is selling for $300,000. So $100,000 exemption is not going to exempt all property value for most homeowners. It certainly provides relief, but the shift that we're talking about, if Anchorage were to implement this to the limit, results in an increase in the millage as well, and a redistribution of tax not just to commercial property owners, but to higher value homeowners as well. So that needs to be considered. We haven't done an extensive analysis that I'm prepared to comment on to anybody, but that's a consideration. Let's see. The other point was made and answered by Steve Van Zandt that we do a fractional assessment or different mill rates for different types of property is not allowed under Alaska law, and that all property is affected by the same mill rate. The mill rate in Anchorage, of course, is also significantly affected by the tax cap. So we're limited in terms of total tax revenue by the tax cap, and the mill rate can only raise enough money to meet the amount allowed by the tax cap. So we can't increase the mill rate or the amount just to generate more money. I guess those are the statements I had to make, and I'm available to answer any questions.
Are there any questions of Mr. McGee? We have one from Senator Stevens.
Well, Mr. McGee, just this in economics, I mean, you say you're redistributing the tax to the commercial property, but in the end, if you raise the tax on the McDonald's restaurant, then I assume that McDonald's will raise the price of its hamburgers, and the public's going to pay that anyway. So any comments on a sort of an overall view of what happens when you raise tax on commercial property?
Well, we're not allowed to raise the tax on commercial property specifically.
No, I mean when you redistribute it.
Right. If we were to implement the exemption to the limit allowed here, it would cause the remaining taxpayers, both commercial and residential, to pay more taxes. In terms of its distribution down the chain, the market elements of supply and demand for whatever this taxpayer is selling doesn't always allow them to pass their increased tax down to their customers. And especially interesting consideration is that, you know, people buy products, cars and other things. They may have the option, especially in Anchorage, of going to Mat-Su to do business in a different tax environment. So sometimes local tax policy has consequences beyond the obvious and shifts businesses to other locations because they gain a competitive advantage. It's not the intent. But that's the effect. So a lot of times we talk about changes in tax policy, and we talk about the commercial property owners being able to pass that on to their customers, and that's not always the case. It's been especially true in Anchorage considering apartment rental rates because the issues of supply and demand for apartments increases in operating expenses to the apartment owners. They have not been able to pass all of their increased expenses on to their customers, and probably wouldn't be able to with regard to this this type of expense in tax.
Any further questions of Mr. McGee? Thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon, Mr. McGee.
Thank you.
We have next we go to Soldatna for the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assessor, Shane Horan. Shane, are you on, please?
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Chair. Thank you. My name is Shane Horan. I'm the assessor for the Kenai Peninsula Borough. On behalf of the administration, we do not support this bill. The mayor, Mayor John Williams, believes if Senate Bill 122 becomes law, it would put undue pressure on the assembly to pass an unfunded exemption. Currently, the Kenai Peninsula Borough does offer the $20,000 residential exemption for residential properties that are owned and occupied as one's primary residence and permanent place of abode. And we did go, in 2005, we did go from a $10,000 residential exemption up to a voter-approved $20,000 exemption. Additionally, according to Kenai Peninsula Borough Code, one must occupy his or her home for at least 183 days per year in the prior year for which the exemption is sought. The language of this bill does not have such requirements and merely states, and I quote, a municipality may exclude or exempt or partially exempt residential property from taxation by ordinance ratified by the voters at an election, unquote. There is no language specifying ownership or occupancy requirements in this bill. Currently, the assessed value of owner-occupied primary residences and permanent places of abode that are exempted based on the $20,000 residential exemption in the Kenai Peninsula Borough amounts to about $185 million or approximately $2.2 million in taxes being exempted or shifted elsewhere. At a $50,000 exemption, the assessed value exempted would approximate $152.4 million, or approximately $5.5 million in taxes exempted or shifted elsewhere. At $100,000, the assessed value exempted would be $855 million, or approximately $10 million in taxes exempted. Lastly, this additional available exemption would place political pressure on our municipality to go before the voters at a time when budgets are attempting to be managed with all due care and with all due fiscal responsibility. So with that, I thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'm available for any questions. Thank you.
Any questions of Mr. Horan? Mr. Horan, I have a question. Is what are your thoughts on the sales tax provision, and what would it do to your situation down there now in your present sales tax situation?
Currently, through the chair, I'm really not adept at being able to answer that. I know currently the mayor and the administration are considering lowering the millage rate. We do have a peninsula sales tax rate of 2%, and they wish to increase that to 3% and then reduce the property taxes by 1 mil.
Okay, thank you very much.
That's going to take place on the 1st of January if they do that.
1st of January 2008?
Yeah.
That's affirmative.
Okay. Thank you very much for your testimony, Mr. Horan. If there's no further questions, we'll go on to the back to Fairbanks and talk to Tammy Wilson. Tammy, Ms. Wilson, are you on, please?
Yes, I am.
If you'd go ahead with your identify yourself, say who you represent, and then go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Tammy Wilson. I live in the borough. I do not live in either one of the cities here. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to Senator Thomas for bringing this forward. I understand a lot of your concerns, but as a homeowner, you know, I want you to understand kind of how it works here now on the $20,000. It's $20,000 or a percentage. So I believe this would work the same way. I would imagine that if this did pass, I don't think that the Fairbanks would all of a sudden say give you $100,000. They could say 30 or 40,000, see how it works, see how it shifts. And you are right, it would shift it to the businesses. However, sales taxes, it does the opposite. It puts all the burden on the residents, those who buy things. Also, at least if you shift it to some of the businesses, again, they will just make the price of things that they sell a little different, and ultimately we do pay for that. I guess we are lucky that our mill rate here has been lower each year. However, most of us have seen our assessments grow from 30%. I even know people who actually had their assessments doubled in this last year. So even though our mill rate is lowering, most of us do not see it in our property tax bills, and that really is a concern here. And I just think that this is definitely a tool that the boroughs can use. It is unmandated, but it's also not forced upon anyone, and I just really hope that you will vote in favor of this. Thank you.
Ms. Wilson, we have a question from Senator Wagner.
It's not as much a question as a correction. One thing you have to understand, Ms. Wilson, I used to be a major property owner in the city of Kenai of a commercial building. And the ability for somebody that owns a commercial building to increase prices to their customers, or in my case, as a landlord, increasing the price to my lessees, is directly proportional to what the competition is in that community, because most of the time in a smaller community you don't have new businesses coming into the community. You have businesses moving within the community from one piece of property to the other, where they can get the lowest and best rate on their lease or their monthly rent. So just because that's a good soundbite, and I know a lot of people use it, and you probably heard it in the public, but that doesn't carry out all the time in the real world. My rental rates were basically stagnant for about 12 years in Kenai until I sold that building. So it doesn't always work that way. It's what I'm trying to say.
Well, through the chair, I understand that. But as a residential homeowner, I have no way of passing mine off. What I make on wages is all I can do. I can't pass it off to anybody. So at least they have a chance, something I don't.
Ms. Wilson, thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon. Any further questions of this young lady? Okay, with that, we'll go ahead and close testimony. We're going to hold the bill today. Any wrap-up by the bill's sponsor before we...
Sure.
Go on home and think about it, Senator Stevens.
I'm sorry, before you speak, I wanted to request that we contact the Alaska Municipal League, and since this is an issue that impacts all of the communities in Alaska, I'd be pleased to hear
an excellent recommendation.
Response from them on this important issue.
Mm-hmm. Senator Wagner.
I'd just like to ask the bill sponsor to look into the possibility, and I hate to hammer this point continuously, but maybe change this to read a municipality may exclude or exempt or partially exempt a residential and or a commercial property. And it may not be at the same level giving a credit to a residence, but at the same time, I really worry about what we can do to the small business owner by doing this at a $100,000 level. If we were going from last time we went from, I tried from 10 to 50 and I got to 20, and so I guess maybe if we're going from 20 to 30 or 35, I could live with that. But if I go much higher than that, I'm going to want that small business person to be having a level playing field and have the same advantages before I'd vote it out of committee.
Senator Thomas, is there any chance we could get some input from especially the small business people that would be most directly affected, as we've heard from a number of the people that have been testifying this afternoon?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, we can certainly look at that. My concern with the change that was suggested is that's a broader concept, might even draw more concern about where we're headed. So I'd be more inclined to probably change the assessed value number and reduce that, as Senator Wagner has indicated. He had enough trouble dealing with a $50,000 number, much less $100,000. And rather than changing the concept much, I think we'd have a whole lot more difficulty if we addressed commercial property, and that I think we'd have a real splintering between residential owners, commercial property owners, and more concern with the municipalities about what might happen in that case. But we're certainly willing to take a look at that and get back with you with whatever we can, and attempt to get more folks to testify regarding the percentage or the change in the number, and potentially how it impacts the various municipalities as well as AML. We'll talk to Ms. Wasserman.
Any further questions or comments of the bill sponsor? With that, we'll go ahead and hold the bill. If there's nothing else to come before the committee this afternoon, Senator Wagner.
Just so you understand the relevance of what I said about small business people and their properties, commercial properties. In the Kenai Peninsula Borough, I on the average pay about 1.5% of the value of my home in property taxes each year. The commercial building I had, of the rental income that I made, I paid 7% to 8% of that income to pay for my property tax. So that's the way I'd look at this and evaluate it. And that's why I'm so protective of the small businessman, because I'll tell you what, I know how tough it is in small business, some of them, to make it. And once they start paying a lease amount alone, they got to pay that before they put a nickel in their pocket. That's the first check they write each month, and that's sometimes pretty tough to do.
That's certainly a valid point of view, because we want to make sure that we don't put the small business person out of business. Senator Stevens.
Mr. Chairman, I just wondered if the sponsor would want to look at clarification of ownership or occupancy requirements. It seems pretty wide open now, and maybe that should be defined a little clearer.
Can you give us an example? I guess I'm not sure where your question is going.
I guess the question is, if I own property and didn't live there and lived in San Diego or something, but I said it was my residence, would I be exempt, or would I only be exempt if, in fact, it was my residence 9 months out of the year? Or should it be more clearly identified?
Senator Thomas, do you want to answer that?
I believe it is identified in the remainder of the bill, but I'll confirm that with you. We were just changing this particular aspect of it. Greyer may have further comment on that, but I think it's already defined. But Greyer, if you want to go ahead
Mr.
and
Hopkins,
comment on
go
that.
Ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Senator Stevens, it's just the lone prime residence and the qualifications for that generally run along the same lines as applying for your permanent fund dividend. 90 days out of it and the different.
And where is that in the bill?
It's not. It's in statute.
It's in statute already.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
And if Senator Thomas.
We'll make that clear. We should have probably included other commentary and document that would have shown at least that this was only changing this aspect of it and not any other part of the statute. But we'll make sure that that is included.
Any further questions or comments on the bill for the bill sponsor? If not, we'll go ahead and hold this bill. And if nothing else is coming before the committee, this committee is adjourned at 4:30. Thank you very much for.